tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, After Buzzers, welcome back to another 100 after show. I can say words. So, if you haven't done so already, make sure to like, subscribe, leave comments. We are available on AfterBuzzTV.com, iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, all the places you want to be, we are there. So make sure to listen, subscribe, and all that jazz, and give us a thumbs up if you like what you're hearing. Today we're going to be covering Season 2, Episode 12, Rubicon. Joining me today is Ben Bateman.
Hey everybody, how y'all doing?
And Alexis Torres.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
I sound just like you.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh, it's like you're the same person. And to keep track of us throughout the show and when we're not doing the show, you can find us at the hashtag ABTV100. And you can also follow us on Twitter. My personal handle is Tari J. That's TauriJay. And Ben, what is yours?
My Twitter handle is Ben Bateman Media.
And mine is ATorres890.
Awesome. Cool.
Lovely.
So that's all the things that you need to know. Let's get into the show.
That was a great introduction,
Tyler. Really good, man.
On point.
Have you been rehearsing that?
I feel like in the mirror, like.
Oh, totally. That's how I do it.
Oh, good for you.
Thanks.
It's paying off.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we open up with Tari, I'm stealing the thunder here. Do you want to just begin?
He did have a great intro.
That's true. Yeah, I had my moment.
Yeah, I think it's your turn.
Ben.
Yeah. So the show, you know, opens up and we're not going to start with where it opens up. We're going to start with Crazy Man Jaha in the desert with Murphy.
Well, okay, we're going to start with that guy. Right.
Yes. Yeah. So, as we've seen with the show quite a bit, we had the absence of a couple main characters last episode.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that Murphy and Jaha had wandered off into the desert to try to find the City of Light.
Yes.
And the fans were, according to pictures and a preview from several days ago, already shipping Murphy and this girl he meets, Amori, right?
Yeah.
They were already shipping them before they'd even seen the episode. So Murphy already has a ship going into the episode.
I'm not even surprised that even just came out of your mouth. I can't even think of, Murphy has a ship. Like, no, that shouldn't even be a thing.
No,
but
come on.
I'm not saying, you know, love Murphy is in the air. Oh. I mean, love is in the air. That's great and all. But we all know that apparently that didn't work out very well.
Right.
Yet. There's a lot of seeds being planted. I think that she's going to come back.
Yeah, it seems like it.
But not to get into predictions or anything. Really quickly. So, yes, they are wandering through the deserts. They meet Amori, and she tries to essentially threaten them, but it's 12 armed men.
Right.
Yeah.
And she tells them a sob story that her brother was killed, mm-hmm. and there's no one to pull her cart, and she'll take them to the City of Light if they would only pull her cart.
Which already seems like a bad idea.
I love how all three of us were like, that's a trap.
Yeah.
That's a trap, like Admiral Akbar. Every time. That's a trap.
It's just that kind of TV show where you just sit there like, I can't trust any new person that comes onto the show, period.
Of course not.
On the scale of awesome and kind of like peculiar things that have happened, her mutant hand, top 5, top 10, is really cool. I mean, it looks like a crazy fish club.
It does.
Like a club and a fish combined with a hand.
I'm not even... I actually thought it was really, really cool. I was just trying to figure out how... I mean, I obviously know that there's a... It's so weird to think of because that some things are mutated and some things aren't.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out where in this part of the world right now is more has more radiation poisoning than the other, is what I'm trying to figure out. Because when we first opened up in season one, we had that really crazy looking deformed deer.
Right.
But the horses look fine. So.
Horses are cooler than deer.
Apparently so.
Horses are cooler than reindeer.
Jumping way back.
Stop.
Way back in the past, that weird elephant man looking, like mutated head guy that was like wandering. Yeah, that just turned out to be a reaper, right? That was what they were foreshadowing? Or we still don't know who that guy is?
No. That was an actual person, wasn't it?
It was an actual, like, just mutated guy. What I'm understanding or gathering is that anyone who has a severe mutation is shunned away from all of the camps, and so they're sent into the Badlands.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Or the Dead Zone, as they call it.
That's right. And that's what I really like that they brought that up in this episode, because I was like, wasn't there some sort of banishment thing that was happening, but I couldn't remember what
it was
called.
There's the kid we meet. Jaha meets him earlier, and then there's the elephant man-looking guy we saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just more along the lines of, I knew that there was people who are getting banished to these places, but I couldn't remember how this all happened. I mean, I know that there's little radiation pockets everywhere, but I'm just trying to figure out, because there's a majority of animals that are just completely fine, and then there's like that one or two that are just like really messed up.
Right.
So.
Which, I mean, biologically speaking, that's how mutations work.
I know.
Typically. Anyway. Mm.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you,
sir. I had to get my pretentious voice on.
So they end up, she leads their cart to a trap, and they all are sort of held hostage. She's holding Murphy hostage. He says to her, after they have kind of, I would say, a romantic moment walking together, or at least an intriguing moment, she says, "Good luck, John Murphy," or "Good luck, Murphy." And then she whispers in his ear and then hits him, and she like pistol whips him with the knife.
She
butt whips him.
Nice. I was like, where is he going with it? Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that's where we're left. And then Murphy's like, "Well, she said head due north." And Jaha's like, "Are you sure, son?" And he's like, "I got nothing better to do."
I hate that line so much. It's not the fact that, like, he said it. It was just more, it's just such a Murphy frickin' line that you're just like, really? You couldn't be like, "I have faith in it," or "eh." But no. "I've got nothing better to do."
Yeah.
Really?
That's what cool people say. That was like the Murphy equivalent of Han going, "I know," instead of saying, "I love
you." Yeah, that was the first thing that came to my brain. I was like, oh my God, it's a Han Solo, "I know, I love you" moment. Like, that's, I mean, it also brought me back to just like a very CW moment of like,
right.
The Murphy Jaha. The Murphy Jaha stuff is like, it's like turning into this hilarious spinoff where they're like, kind because of their relationship, when he's like, "I have your back, son." Like, they're kind of turning Jaha into like a cartoon character in some ways. Like, so they're walking away, and he says, and he's like, "What? So you just want to give up right now?" And he's like, "That's not what I said." And he's like, "I guess this is what we call faith." And then he's walking after him, and he's like, and he's, you see him smiling. You almost want every time Murphy does anything for Jaha to be like, "Ha ha! Good idea, son." Like, I just feel like they're making their relationship
he's just
sort
really
of cartoonish.
Animated.
A little bit.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think that they're playing to the extremes of the characters, especially because
My man. Just like Denzel lines. Just start peppering in Denzel Washington lines.
That would be amazing.
That would be the best episode ever if they just did that for Jaha. It would be the best. I don't know.
Why did you say that, Jaha? My man.
It's something from the old record.
I don't know. I was watching these old,
right?
You
have
videos.
To imagine they have VHSs on the arc.
Okay.
anyway.
Where did we just go right now?
I don't know.
We transposed Denzel Washington onto Isaiah Washington and made them one single
Washington. I'm going to go a little off track since we're clearly off the rails at this point. He has the whitest teeth I've ever seen.
Remarkably.
All of them have
clean,
like really pretty chompers.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's the first thing. Two, makeup is on point.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm like, Abby, your mascara looks better than mine, and you've been out without makeup for how long now?
We call that suspension of disbelief.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, bringing us back.
We need to get back on track. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Well, I wanted to bring it up, because you mentioned it in our watching session, that Jaha, his crusade is kind of like, he's like Moses leading the 12 tribes through the
and
desert.
He sees himself that way, too, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially with that giant walking stick, which, by the way, I think is the coolest thing. So whoever in costume or wardrobe fashioned that, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Like, he can lean on it. It's great.
Yeah. I was like, he just found that. And he's just like, "Oh, look, I can lean on this forever." And I'm like, yes. I love that. That's really cool.
And so 12 has been a theme, I feel like, this episode, because we have the 12, we also have the 12 tribes.
12 tribes, sure.
Grounders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm transitioning.
So, I like where you're going.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good way to transition.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We have the meeting of the 12 tribes. All of them, or at least their leaders, are meeting to discuss how they're going to take down the Mountain Men. And Clark is getting ready to represent the Sky People and meet up with everyone. Meanwhile, we find out that basically they're being targeted because Mount Weather knows that everyone who is important is going to be in one location, so they're going to bomb the crap out of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this set up some really interesting stuff. The episode actually started with Clark and Raven having an interaction about how mm-hmm. many gadgets that Raven had designed, and has she disabled the acid fog, and have we freed our people, and how's Bellamy, and all this stuff. And then this was a really interesting whole interaction, because as we saw at the end of last week's episode, when Clark kind of put the hammer down, like, I'm in charge now.
Yeah.
It was a continuation of this first scene. So first of all, it was nice because Clark was giving some of the attitude back to Raven that Raven had been giving Clark about killing Finn.
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, you know what? Like, I'm not going to take any more from you. I'm going to give you some of the same pettiness because I'm stressed and I'm, you know, whatever. And then she has to interact with Kane, whose character has become really one of, like, they've done a great job with shifting him into this role where he's much more sympathetic, and he's just more of a pacifist ever since his experience in the prison.
Right.
He just kind of, he's smarter, he listens, he goes with. And then Abby and Clark, it was like their roles are now completely reversed. Abby was like the petulant child, and Clark was totally like the stone cold, people die in war, like, listen to me, and Kane just totally is on board with her. So that whole interaction was great, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. Alexis, what do you think?
I'm having, like, mixed feelings about a lot of things, because I am happy that Clark is putting her foot down on everything, but the whole Raven-Clark interaction that we had was kind of weird for me, because at first it was more like, oh, I hate you, you killed my boyfriend, or ex-boyfriend, or whatever.
Right.
And I was like, okay, yes, you deserve to be, you have the right to be angry. I get that. And then all of a sudden she's, I mean, it's very human to be like, okay, I understand that you're also going through a lot of stuff, so I'm going to hug you and, I, you know, don't die.
Yeah.
I feel like it was kind of abrupt.
Okay,
the transition felt a little abrupt because she seemed so cold at one point, and then all of a sudden it just turned because, oh my God, we're going to die. Which, again, that can happen to any one of us if that was ever happening right now. But I felt like the way that the pacing was kind of, it threw me out. I was like, whoa, wait, I thought you were mad at her. You know right. what I mean?
Have you ever, like, let's say, have you ever planned a party or something like that where, and it's really important to you, and
yeah.
you're spending weeks or whatever, and you're totally invested. As it gets closer, and you're running out of time,
mm-hmm.
you're emotionally become very manic.
Yeah,
you're stressed at all times. You're being kind of a jerk to people.
Yeah,
you're apologizing, give people hugs, you say you're sorry, but then you just snap right back into it. That's what that scene felt like to me.
Yeah, and I got that. It was just kind of as a person who was watching it, it kind of threw me off for like a split second. So, I mean, I still like the fact that Clark is sticking to her guns. That's the one thing I really appreciated.
Yeah.
For her this whole episode until obviously the very end where she was kind of like, holy shit, what did I do? Whoa, excuse me. But that was literally
explicit.
What...
Explicit.
But, I mean...
This is an intense podcast. Things just got real.
Put the kids to bed. Yeah, all
right,
go ahead.
Right? But... It, at the same time, it was kind of weird to see kind of everybody around her just kind of giving her crap about every single decision that she was making, which is, right. like, bringing back to, like, all the adults are kind of being kind of childish.
Yeah.
At one point, kind of like, you know, I'm still the chancellor. We get that.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed. She's just, she has a little bit more responsibility than you do.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that there's going to be, like, as I was noticing Clark, and then as we've been saying about Octavia, I like her so much as a character.
Yeah.
Like, she drew a heart on my sheet.
I can see it from here,
I normally write the word, like, I love Octavia,
yeah.
but now I was so emphatic about this, I wrote a heart on my notes, so I don't know what that means. Anyway,
you guys know what it means.
Yeah. But
aww, thanks, Mark.
She's just a great character, and you're great, sure. Mark. You're great. So,
Mark is our wonderful engineer / producer.
Yeah.
Aww, shucks.
Behind the scenes. So Octavia and Clark have like become so cool and so decisive what are they going to do in season 3? Is he have to swing back the other way where now they have too much responsibility and people are revolting? Because, I mean, Clark, like, they're pretty firmly almost there where they're entirely on top and in total control. They're almost there.
I mean,
Clark pretty much is.
No, you go ahead.
I mean, at this point, everyone has that common enemy, etc. But, like, even if they were to get all of the 47 out and deal with the mountain men, whether the mountain men join them or the mountain men all die, like, they still have to build a society and figure out, like, who will have the hierarchy, because the grounders will still want to take control, and then the sky people will feel like they also know better, because that's how civilized people are, in that they believe that their ways are right, so they must impose them on other people.
Sure.
So there's still room for that sense of drama. I mean, and I assume that they will explore a lot of the mutants and stuff, and so that will be the new enemy from that point on.
So they transition from Camp Jaha to Camp U, as Murphy calls it. Which is funny. they're now at the Ton DC, which is hilarious that it took us this long for us to be like, it's Ton. Because
I can't really think of it that way, because I feel like they mentioned it more these past couple of episodes more than back in the past.
Yeah. Do you know what it was for me? What? Every time they said Ton DC, because you actually saw the word Ton DC in like one of the recent episodes, but every time they said Ton DC, the reason it didn't occur is because I was thinking like a word like Khaleesi or something.
Right.
Yeah, you know? That's exactly where I was.
Like T-O-N-D-I-S-I.
Yeah.
Ton DC.
Yeah.
And maybe it was supposed to be confusing until they revealed it.
Apparently.
The Washington Monument, like the Lincoln Memorial was there.
Yeah.
We were just, I mean, how did we not just put two and two together? DC.
I mean, it was it was subtle. Because you could, like you said, you could assume it was part of their language. Like, oh, it's Ton DC.
Right.
I mean, and I feel like, and maybe this is me making excuses, but I feel like they didn't say it until we acknowledged that it existed.
Could be.
I agree. I feel like they gave us the signs, but they didn't really talk about it, and now they're just talking about it nonstop at this point. Like, I don't know how many times they said Ton DC through this whole episode, more than I think they have throughout the whole season and the season before that.
Right.
It's fair. So they get to Ton DC. There's a meeting of the 12. That's coming up.
Yes.
And this is after Clark has found out, she sent Kane that, there's a missile coming, and she's starting to, and she says to Lexa, we have to get out of here. Now, one thing I noticed that I thought was great was Clark is arguing with Lexa it's either a bunker or a shack or something like that.
Right.
And she's saying, we have to get everybody out of here. And Lexa's saying, no, Clark, like, you know, I think the exact line is, sometimes you have to lose the battle to win the war, or maybe it's something
to that degree. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's walking away from her, and Clark's yelling, and she grabs her shoulder, and you probably had the same impulse that I did. Lex is going to turn around and, like,
smack her,
right. or assert her dominance again.
Yeah.
She literally just stops and turns around and is talking to her 100% as her equal.
Yeah.
Which was, like, that's, like, the true sign of respect, because that interaction in television and movies is always exactly what you're expecting. It's the backhand, you know?
Right.
You're getting a little too fresh, so I'm going to... And then I thought they were going to get fresh there for a second, because that's they've been kind of alluding to it.
I was waiting for it.
But I'm done.
I felt the same way that as soon as she turned around, it was either two things. One, it was either going to be, something like that, where it was just going to be like, not like a brawl, but like there was going to be some sort of pushing or some sort of argument. Like it was going to escalate from there, or there was going to be, as a lot of our fans have been saying, that they can see some sort of chemistry between them.
There's
and
something.
Seems like it. Yeah, we don't know what it is yet. Apparently the fans do, and I'm oblivious to it. But I can see that it was either it was going to be a kiss, or it was going to be a hit. One or the other.
Well, yeah, and that is a term in, like, acting where when tension is building, it always builds to a point where you either have to fight or kiss.
Yeah.
Right.
So for our actor people. But, though I personally didn't think that there was going to be any kind of physical altercation, mostly because they built them to be such leaders, and leaders by character aren't hot-headed.
True.
And you see them kind of talk it out and discuss basically war strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you guys think that they made the right decision?
That was going to be my question. I don't know, actually. I felt like there could have been a better plan. But at the same time, I couldn't think of an actual resolution of how they were going to get everybody out in time.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of begs the, it alludes, because they've referenced that they would know we have a mole inside their organization if right. we evacuated everybody. But then it defies, well, no, it doesn't really actually, because Lexa says Bellamy's the key to everything, he's inside. So right. his what he's going to do, it makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Though I don't know that them being alerted that there was a mole in this abstract way is worth the deaths of however many 100+ people or something
right.
that are going to die when the bomb goes off. That doesn't necessarily seem like it's... I mean, I don't know. What do you... I mean...
Well, I mean, I think it's the grounder way to... They don't see it at... They see it as more of a noble sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because she being Lexa, mentions that it would be a good way to motivate all the ones who are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be sacrificing the few for the many. Though I personally felt like they could have just sent out a few scouts, because Clark at one point acknowledges that there has to be someone like guiding the missile. So they should have just sent out a small group of people to search the woods for mountain men, and then someone could have found this guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's probably true. So what ends up happening at the end of this is that Clark is there, and she escapes to the woods with Alexa, because they decide they're going to not tell most of the people, in fact.
Right.
And she sees Abby, and she sees her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexa says, you can't do this. You can't do... And then immediately, you are reminded that Clark is a human. She's yep. a sky person, and she's a kid.
Yep.
And yeah. she doesn't even hesitate to go get her mom. It's not even a question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like... It's the beauty of her at this point of her character is that yeah. she's both. She's getting so strong. She does have, I think she has a line that I'm. Oh, it's when she's talking about Bellamy doesn't need to know.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
He doesn't need to know. He doesn't need any distractions, and it's just more of that. Like, you're just learning to think like your grounder. You're learning to think like Lexa.
Exactly.
So, bomb goes off. Oh, we have to talk about, of course, friend of the podcast. Mr. Ricky Whittle, who he had a quick cameo in this episode.
Yay!
Yes,
he's in the woods. I thought this was one of my favorite scenes in the whole episode. Actually,
the one between Octavia and Lincoln.
Such mm-hmm. a small scene, but like so sad,
so powerful too.
Just really sad. I thought he did a great job. Just nailed it. Just like,
but wait, was he wasn't eating him, right?
No, I think
he was taking his stuff.
Scavenging.
Yeah, yeah.
To go pawn it for more red juice.
Apparently so.
There's gotta be a pawn shop near there.
Right? Somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have to agree with you that seeing him there, I was like, what's going on? Number one, two, oh dear God, he's eating another person. And Octavia has found him again. This is awkward.
keep cheating on your wife, or you just keep eating people. Whichever yeah. one's gonna be.
Whichever one works. But it was kind of crazy to see the role reversal, which I thought was, like, the most powerful thing out of the both of them, that he's in there trying to, like, I feel weak because I can't fight it, and she's now this
beautiful,
like,
woman.
Yeah, this grounder warrior who's like, get up, and I love that she actually hit him. Yeah. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought she was just going to, like, yell and be angry, but she actually, what was it, kicked him? Punched him?
She punched him, I believe.
Yeah. And it was crazy, and you could see it in his face that he was just like, oh, my God. I need to change. Like, it was kind of like, it looked like through his emotions that he couldn't tell whether to be angry at her or to be angry at himself, or I don't know, like, he couldn't, like, there's so much emotion through his face that you couldn't tell what was actually going through his brain.
He's a drug addict. He's very confused.
Well, obviously, but at the same time.
It's amazing that they are accomplishing that on the 100. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have this character basically telling him to man up and that he can get through it, and she takes him off.
Which she's,
to
like,
help
the
him.
Tiniest person in, like, this whole cast,
which
I think is
great.
Awesome. Yeah, it is crazy to see her go from, again, we always say this every single episode, as she goes, like, you know, we're here, bitches, to, like, you know, get up. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So, really quickly, before we go into the last bit of the episode, I know we've been throwing, like, some polls at you guys, like top fives and top tens and such.
Oh.
We had this idea. So we've been in contact with a handful of cast members, and we're trying to arrange some people to come in for the later half of the season. But we really want to get you guys involved with this campaign, because obviously you're the reason we do the show. So the guys that you want to see come in. And we asked you last week, some of the biggest actors it's really hard to get. Obviously, Eliza Taylor doesn't come to LA very often. She goes back home, which is Australia, or yeah. she's in Vancouver.
Yep.
So we're not really 100% sure who's around, but we wanted to choose a few people that we had a good sense are a little more accessible in the near future. So of these three, we're going to try to launch a little campaign live next week, the beginning of the episode, all you guys watching to tweet at this person that they got to get in here in the final few weeks of the season. And the people we're thinking of are Murphy, so that's Richard S. Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
Kane, who is Henry Ian Cusack, mm-hmm. and Indra, who is Adina Porter. And we would be so excited to get any one of those three in here, and we're working on guests anyway, but we wanted to get you guys involved in that. So that's the question today, is which of those three, if you were going to tweet at them next week, would you want to get the whole group mind trending to that one person? That's the top three for this week.
Yep. So comment below, let us know on the next episode. We will tell who the definitive one is, and we're going to start the campaign from there.
And tweet at us, obviously, just about
it. I feel
like
we should talk about iTunes since we're talking about social media.
We should talk about iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tari.
You
can talk to me about it if you want.
Oh, no. I want to talk to my friends. They're at home.
Oh, hey.
So, hey, guys. We here at AfterBuzz provide, what is it, 90 to 98? Over 100 shows mm-hmm. for how much, guys?
For free.
For free?
Nothing.
For nothing. And we only ask one thing. Okay, wait. Maybe a few things.
We have paid in goodwill, like let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We ask that you go to our iTunes page and comment, leave us 5 stars, 4 stars if you're, think we can improve on something. And if we can improve on anything, or you just love us, leave us a comment below and tell us your feedback.
It's very helpful.
Yeah. And if you're on YouTube, then go ahead and hit that like button. It helps everyone know that this is an amazing video. And comment below. Let us know, like Ben said, who you'd like to be on the show. Your commenting and your liking and your subscribes basically help people know that we are a legitimate place that does amazing work. If you love our work,
yes,
and you love having guests on our show, then feel free to let us know with your likes and comments and subscriptions.
I second that.
Yeah.
So let's really, the last thing to touch on, I forgot about this before we get into the final, into Mount Weather and Kane and all the goodness that was happening there, was
yes.
that there's this incredibly dramatic interaction at the very end of the episode between Abby and Clark,
yes.
where the missile goes off, we're not sure who died, they get up, and you see Abby just with like this look of fear, look at Clark, and she says, "You knew about this," and she's, "Tell me that you didn't know about this." Clark says, "I can't tell you that." And what I saw in this moment,
mm-hmm.
was Clark wilting for just a second to the disappointment of her mother, because she's a kid and that's her mom. And
yeah.
no matter all the other stuff that happened, it was a total like, you ate the cookies that you weren't supposed to eat, and now no one else can have them. I'm really disappointed in you, Clark. I mean, obviously, 100+ people died, so it's a little different. But
yeah, I was going right. to say, I was like, I don't think it's disappointment. I think she actually, like, not fears her daughter, but I feel like from looking at her, she's like, oh my God, my daughter is...
Now I know what you're capable of, sort of.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, because at first she's just like, oh, she's just being a child right now. She just thinks that she's, owning all this stuff. But I think after this, she's actually not scared, but just in general, her whole opinion of Clark has changed now. She's like, I didn't even know you were capable of doing
right.
this. You were kind of a monster.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I got from her face.
Right.
And it was crazy.
I mean, leading up to this moment, she had been treating Clark like a child the whole time. When Abby was going on her emotional diatribe, my thought was, what kind of mother would speak to her child like this? But at the same time, we've seen Clark surpass the point of childhood.
Right.
And I've really enjoyed this moment, because you do see this shift where she's like, no, you're not my child anymore, and I can't treat you as such.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then she says, "Your secret's safe with me."
Yeah,
yeah, with so much like attitude gusto, like it was kind of like, yeah,
that okay. was the total disappointment.
Yeah,
that was the like,
that was a typical mom disappointment. You're like,
right.
ugh.
And I want to give a shout out to the 100 writers and the people who title the episodes, because Rubicon, being part of an old idiom, symbolizing the point of no return,
which they brought up.
Yes.
Yeah, which I liked. I like that a lot.
So
I love the writers on this show. I follow the writers on Twitter, and then each of the single writers themselves, and they're all awesome. They interact, and it's really great writing on the show. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Like, it always fools me. It always kind of throws me for a loop.
There's definitely a line, which we will get into, about the Mount Weather stuff that was used twice in this episode that really cut me deep in so many different ways. It was kind of great, especially how they used it in the end.
Let's jump to it.
That's what I was trying to do. Transition.
I know. I was picking it up while you were putting it down.
And I'm just in the middle of it.
you can
literally
transition.
I'm sitting between the two.
So in Mount Weather, we've got the 47, and they are basically...
Is it really 47 now?
I mean, it's down to, I guess with Bellamy. We did the math last week.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's 47 or 46.
It's definitely lower now, because I know that we've definitely lost a few of them this time.
Right. We've lost one.
No, we've lost a couple. If you look on the gurneys in the back, there's like two different bodies there.
Oh, from when they were doing the original bone marrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's somewhere in the low 40s.
Yep. Yeah. So we've got the roughly 40-something or others.
And I had to point you out.
They're in their, basically, cell dorm.
Yeah.
And Dr. Singh is bringing in soldiers to take them one by one to harness their marrow so that they can start giving it to all the residents of Mount Weather.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that line that Alexis was talking about where she turns to Jasper and says, "You're very special to us.
You're all very important to us," in this really heartfelt way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like,
creepy, creepy line.
Yeah, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, you're technically correct because these guys are saving you, but at the same time, I really don't like the way you're using that as you're special to us in a certain way. Like, ugh.
Just
using us for...
Yeah. So the officer that Clark had sent back, he's there getting his first treatment after they abduct this kid.
Yeah. Yes.
And he's healing his face, all his lacerations and bubbles are all going away. He's made it back, and it's clear that he's mentioned the secret plot that Clark threatened with.
Right.
I'm sorry, we missed a huge part. Kane gets the, because Kane finds him, and Kane's outside.
You're thinking of Cage.
Cage. Yes. Cage. Sorry, guys. Cage finds him. Cage
President
is outside.
Cage.
Yeah. Now. Right now.
Johnny Whitworth with a sweet scar. Do you think the scar is not fake, right? That's just the actor.
I believe it's his face.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I believe it's scars, his face.
Face scars always make people look so much cooler. Everybody knows that.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's why, like, in Street Fighter, characters have, like, a scar here and here. Like, here and here.
No, you're correct.
Well, traditionally, face scars are like a symbol of like villainy.
Can we each put on prosthetic face scars for next week's episode?
No, you know what I want to do for the next show, or maybe not next week, but like weeks to come, as I want to do like what like Indra has, like the face tattoos. Yeah, same thing with Lincoln. Well, wait.
Yeah.
We can all put on Grounder makeup. That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd have mine all over my chest. Just shirtless in here. It's for everyone that I've killed, guys.
I'd like to recreate Lincoln's full tattoos. All of them. The whole deal. That she said takes like 8 hours or something like that.
It's ridiculous.
We'll find a henna tattoo artist and we'll just let him go to town.
Right.
just sitting here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even talking.
Just going, just flexing our tattoos.
And I'll just be here just like...
We are on a tangent, folks.
Yes. Very much so.
Okay.
We need that buzzer that says we're off topic. Anyway. And this is all overheard by Bellamy, who's in the vents. And essentially, Cage determines that it's time to get rid of all of his foes while they are doing the 47's treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, and Bellamy relays it to Camp Jaha, Bellamy decides to go and in the next raid to give Jasper a weapon.
Yeah.
Right. So they do the classic thing where he's pretending to, to handle him, and he hands him a gun. Mm-hmm. And he's talking, and then the guy's like, "What's the matter?" And he hits him in the stomach, and he's like, "Fight back harder next time." So here's my question, because the next thing you see after this is that President Wallace is being fed his daily rations,
right?
Which looks fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, nice food by Bellamy, And Bellamy's like doing the thing where he turns the music up so the tap or whatever can't hear him.
Yes.
And Bellamy's doing the thing where he's trying to just talk as he's doing something else, so on camera it wouldn't look like anything was happening.
Right.
Here's my question.
Yes.
As they said, everybody knows each other in Mount Weather. And it's kind of believable to a point that he could sort of sneak around a little bit. But if you're getting the clearance to go feed the president his meal, somebody has that job. You're not just getting through everybody's security clearance to be like, oh, I'm just going to go feed the incarcerated president, the one that half of you guys are probably like still have allegiance to.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I've been here the whole time. You guys, you just haven't seen me. I was
thinking that maybe she was helping.
Yeah. Maya.
Yeah, exactly. With that. Because, I mean, every single step that he's taken, she's been right there. Except for, obviously, we didn't get to see her that much in this episode.
Like, nobody recognizes him? He doesn't people?
I mean, it doesn't really matter. Because even when she's around him, nobody really questions. Like, when they were in the elevator in the last episode, like, that guy didn't ask who he was. All he said was, oh, you're bleeding. And then they just went on from there.
Right.
So, I feel like at this point, especially since it's such not high security, but there's such high tension right now in Mount Weather that they probably didn't even think about it.
Yeah. They just see the uniform.
And they're like, oh, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so the next attack in the bunker room, dorm, prison.
This is where I have a problem.
Oh, yeah, please.
Well, it was more along the lines of, okay, he had a gun.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he had it. And he was taking off the bunk bed posts so that they have something to use. And the guys come in, and they're about to take Monty.
Mm-hmm.
And Jasper pulls out the gun, and what does he shoot? In the chest, where there's a giant bulletproof vest. And I was like, okay, I get it. You're heat of the moment, weren't thinking, you shot, you know, you've never
maybe
shot a gun
never
before.
Fired
a gun?
Or,
well,
yeah.
No, that's not true, because I feel the like he's season. Fired, well, yeah. I was like, hasn't he fired guns in the first season?
But not handguns. They're completely different.
Okay, close
recoil and, you
sure,
know.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. but well, at the same time, yeah, there was a panic, but in my brain I was going, neck, face,
yeah.
Nothing.
Well, he chose the wrong target. Like, he should have hit Dr. Singh, because she's the only one
has
who can
nothing.
Do this procedure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he clearly was, you hold a gun, you point it at someone, that's a big thing to do. So
he
clearly wasn't thinking. So he shoots the guy in the chest, they start beating the kids up, they grab Monty. No, they say, now we'll take you, Jasper.
Yeah.
They grab Jasper, they're dragging him out. And then Dr. Singh dies a horrible death.
Yes.
I totally forgot that he was down there. Bellamy was down there trying to mess with the stuff with Raven.
Adjusting.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Until it was happening. I was like, why is there a radiation leak right now? How is that working? And then he's like, I don't know if this is working. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel that as you were watching Dr. Singh die and disintegrate, that Cage?
Okay.
Johnny Whitworth is the actor's name.
Oh.
And Johnny Gomes is a baseball player.
That's
and
okay.
Cage
I was like,
is the character's
what?
Name.
Yes.
Young President Cage. Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage. Yeah.
I was like, Johnny Cage?
You beat me to it. Anyways.
Is he going to die a horrible death at some point? He has to.
It'll
take a while.
He has to unless he becomes a long-term villain.
I don't think they can carry it on into season 3. I think that would be too much.
I think that, like, if anything, like, if they decided to take Mount Weather, I mean, there's a chance that he could escape and then be trying to sabotage things. Like, it wouldn't go the whole season 3.
Maybe
but,
just part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he deserves, like, they've built him up to deserve a really gruesome death.
Yes.
But, I mean, at the same time, he still is trying to do what he believes is best for the people that he's grown to love and know in Mount Weather.
Yeah, so he has just a twisted version of what his dad technically wanted. But, I mean, that's, you know, bringing it a little bit more back here of, like, how we were talking about how they were using the line for what they were using for the kids. Now the kids were using it on Dr. Singh and watching her. At first I thought she was going to get away and that she was going to either warn somebody or have to fight a little bit later on in the next episode. But I love how Jasper just sticks his hand in there and he just leaves the elevator door open.
I for a second
I
thought we were going to see some sort of like super, like, an Inglourious Bastards moment, like, just super gruesome. Yeah. Like, she's already dying and Jasper just starts beating her with a pipe or something.
Apparently we're saving that for the next episode.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yes, I kind of wanted that. I kind of wanted her to suffer in a different way. I mean, that was pretty bad. She pretty much just, her whole body just disintegrated, but I would have been really cool to watch everybody just beat her with freaking...
No. That would have been terrible.
That would have been so crazy.
Because we have these, like, sympathetic characters, and it's like, oh yeah, helpless lady. Let's beat her. Terrible.
Steal her groceries. So she dies, and then
she was a terrible woman.
Yeah, she's horrible. So then, and then the last scene in the episode is Mr. Wallace, older Wallace,
Dante.
He has an interaction with Cage, and Cage says, "You whatever. You just get out of my sight."
Yeah,
I mean, I helped.
Yeah,
Cage injects him with bone marrow. And then he says, in 48 hours, it kicks in. Presumably, they're going to kick him out. He says, you'll get your wish.
Right.
So they're going to kick him out of the mountain.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, I mean, I thought that this moment was a really nice reflection of the moment with Clark and her mother. Because he's basically doing what Clark just did with the missile, in that he's trying to sacrifice these few people to do something greater. And though President Wallace Sr. doesn't agree with it, mm-hmm. like, it's still an imperative. Like, if it doesn't happen, they're all going to die.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. I mean, do you guys think that President Wallace Sr., if set free, will join in with the Grounders and the Sky People?
I don't even know.
I don't think he's
going
to even make it that far, to be honest.
I don't feel like he's just going to get, like, freed and just die. But I don't know. I mean, that's we're getting into.
I wasn't thinking that either. I didn't think he was just going to die off. I just feel like if he ends up going with the Grounder/Sky People, I feel like he's going to die at one point during the war.
Right.
Is what I was saying, but not by natural causes.
Well, we're kind of getting into predictions here, but the one thing I will add on before we get to predictions, and I know I said this last week, and I think it was in reference to the preview of this week, but man, it looked like Harper wasn't going to make it early on.
Every single time.
And she's, she continues to be featured as, like, one of the relevant kids in the mountain, and I know didn't they tease a Jasper Harper ship early? Didn't they kiss? Kissed.
Early on, when Jasper was hot stuff.
Yeah.
I love how you have to say it like that. That's what he was.
Stuff.
Yeah, he was hot
stuff. Oh, in the first season?
In the first season. Yeah, he was hot.
When Monty's like, who are you, man? He's like, you don't understand me anymore.
Yeah. Harper was, like, super into him, but he was still into Octavia.
That's right.
He called her low-hanging fruit. And he was a jerk.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hated him for, like, a split second there. I was like, who the F are you? Yeah.
And then Bellamy came out of a tent with guns and women.
Yeah.
And Mead. America.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, all right. So hats off to Chelsea Rice. She's awesome. She is a soon-to-be friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Wink, wink.
I'm very excited. One. And two, I definitely thought that they were going to take her again as, like, the first person they're going to take out of the room.
Brutal.
And I was like, she just got out of that. And I love how Dr. Singh was just like, no, she needs time to heal before I take her bone marrow again.
Right.
I'm like, you might as well take her now.
Yeah, that's seriously. Dumb. Just put her out of her misery.
Yeah, jeez. But I am glad that she made it. It was just strange.
So let's predict some stuff.
Let's do it.
I also have some shout-outs.
You're after Buzz
TV. Obviously after prediction.
Wait till after prediction. Say the shout-out.
Now.
Can you wait?
No.
Do you have to do it now? Oh, hey, sorry.
Hey, how you guys doing? hey, guys, we have some shout-outs after predictions, so stick around.
But she's going to wait.
There we go. Oh. I said after. Hey, Ben.
Sorry, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Okay, please predict.
It's a pen. Keep going.
No. Let's get into predictions. Alexis, let's see what you got.
Okay, so from the preview that we saw, we see that obviously there's going to be a little bit of a battle inside Mount Weather, which is what we were kind of hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that it is going to go, like, all hell's loose, like, in there. And especially from what the preview is, looks like Jasper ends up cutting somebody up with an axe.
Looked totally awesome.
Or sledgehammering them to death.
Something like that. It was crazy. And I think it's going to be really awesome. I think that we're going to lose a lot of people in the process.
Yep.
I don't think everyone's going to make it. I feel like it's just going to be maybe, like, the first, like, few, like, 5 or 10 people that we were kind of introduced to a little bit more in Mount Weather.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Clark and Abby are going to have major problems now after this whole the whole missile thing went down. Like I feel like after seeing Lexa just being able to just get back up and you know rally the troops, it is kind of hard to see her just sacrifice a whole bunch of people and just be like, "We're going to avenge our dead that you let die." Like, you know, but at the same time, it does make sense. There is sacrifices when it comes to war. So
yeah.
I'm glad that she is taking the reins up again and that she's trying to just, you know, we're going to do this now. Like, no more waiting. We're just going to get up and go. And I really like that we're finally getting into that whole thing. Because I know that we were trying to do a lot of stops.
Right.
And now it's kind of like, it's no more. We need to just go in head first and just go for it. And I think that it's going to be, next episode's going to be crazy, I feel.
All right.
So we have 4 episodes left of the season.
Yep.
And I would say, big predictions for me are, I know that Lexa is going to profess her love to Clark before she dies.
Really?
I know. I'm telling you. I really got the vibe tonight. I really think it's going to happen. I think she's going to. I'm not saying it's going to be like a heartfelt, like they're going to make out. I'm just saying she's going to tell her that in some way she's going to tell her that she loves her.
Uh-huh.
And that's
okay.
And
all that's right. going to happen. I can get on that boat.
That feeling will be resolved. I mean, I don't really see a kiss happening, but it's possible.
It's probably going to happen. I can't see it happening, not happening.
But and then Lexa will die.
Yep.
And I think that'll be a really interesting and complex interaction.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of the main characters that are suggested to be dead after that explosion are actually dead. I think worst case scenario, Indra and Kane are injured maybe.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. What did you guys think about Indra and Kane? Do you guys think that they're alive, they're injured, they're totally fine?
I think they're injured. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think they're injured.
I think at least one of them has to be dead. In order for there to be consequences to this, someone that we know has to be...
Or dying, maybe? Like, so injured that he could be, or she could be dying.
So they get, like, final words and all that
stuff. Right, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, the injured kind of thing. What do you got, Tari?
Nothing too crazy. I'm going to assume that the 47-ish are going to, in their time, they're going to try to bust out, find a way, and I think that some of them will succeed. The ones that we enjoy will stay back and try to help Bellamy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about it. That's my prediction.
Yep. All right, quick shout-outs before we go, because I know we're getting played out here. I wanted to shout-out to one of our Twitter fans, Jose. He's at JVB. He tweeted out to us that he listens to our podcast when he's at work and doing other things, just keeping him company.
That is excellent.
So we wanted to say thank you and everything like that. And obviously just all our YouTube comments that all have been telling us we've been doing a great job.
Yeah.
And just I really appreciate you guys telling us like what your theories are. Obviously all of Ben's top 10 lists and just knowing that you guys are listening, it makes us really happy.
They're our top 10 lists.
Yes.
So thank you from all of us here.
Yes. Thank you for watching. Thank you for spending time with us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Where can they find you guys? Starting with Alexis?
You can find me on all social media at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
My name is Ben Bateman, and my Twitter is Ben Bateman Media. So is my Instagram.
Awesome. And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. Thanks again. Remember, like, subscribe, give us the big thumbs up, and have a good night and stay grounded.
Bye, boom. Guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Better than!